to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour brought to you by Landers Ford in Collierville. Here once again are Brett Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
And she says, I wish that I could be like the cool kids, because all the cool kids, they seem to fit.
Welcome back into Sports Time. Bryant and Brett with you as we start our second hour on this Wednesday afternoon. The par 3 contest just wrapped up at the Masters, and I think that is kind of like the ceremonial start of the Masters, as it will get started bright and early tomorrow morning. A lot of excitement about the tee times. Brett, you mentioned yesterday of all of the tee times with the big names kind of in each one of them to spread it out and kind of get the excitement going all across throughout the day. But we got to talk some golf, and we do it at this time during the golf season. John Goen from Timber Trust, he joins us now. John, thanks so much for joining us. Nice to hear from you again. Before we get into the Masters talk, how's everything going over at Timber Trust?
Hey, fellas. Yeah, sorry. We're pouring a concrete path on 16 today, and I got wrapped up in it. And then, although I was looking at my phone, I just lost track of time and everything else. So, sorry, I'm a little bit late here.
That's okay.
Things are good. I mean, we were obviously better probably about 2-3 weeks ago before that last little cold spell. But, you know, we kind of did a little bit of preventative on greens and stuff like that, covering them up. But, you know, obviously the fairways and stuff kind of got set back a little bit. But, you know, overall pretty happy. No major damage kind of coming out of the winter, especially with that little cold snap for 2 weeks, keeping everybody out of school. But, yeah, pretty pleased overall. And then we'll just kind of see if we can keep pushing forward here.
You had to have had one of your all-time marches with the great weather we had.
Well, I mean, realistically, Brett, from December forward has been, you know, pretty good. You know, the weather this winter, except for that 2-week stretch, has been great. So, you know, if you
it's
look
been
at
dry,
you
know, almost
the first
dry.
Time that I can recall, yeah. I mean, December, January, February, and March, you know, we beat prior years, you know, performance. So that's definitely good. But yeah, you're right. It's drier than you want to be right now. And you know, you get stretches where, you know, like this past weekend, I think we were supposed to get, you know, originally a couple of inches of rain, and a couple inches turned into, we got, you know, right around a half. So not much at all. It was enough to, you know, help us out a little bit here and there. We didn't have to water things for a little bit. But yeah, I mean, where we've historically been used to extremely wet springs and stuff like that, we just haven't quite gotten to that point yet, which I'm not going to complain about.
Hmm. No complaints at all. Tell our listeners how they can come play, and have you started the Thursday scrambles?
So yes to the second question. As a matter of fact, we're going to be playing tomorrow night. We've already moved to 5:30, so we're already in our later time slot. You can call us at 662-895-3530. We have switched to answering service, so just ask to speak to someone in the golf shop, and they will transfer you to the golf shop to be able to sign up for that. Or you can just shoot us an email at golfshop at timbertrustgolf.com. The AI piece has been a nice little addition. I know people have had a few challenges getting accustomed to it, she's an extremely friendly voice when you call and answer, and she's willing to stay on the phone for as long as you need her
to,
which is
that
great.
That is great. John going with us, and we start every year with picking the Masters. And, John, there's a lot of stories out there, and we're going to get to all this in the weeks ahead. Today we're going to kind of keep it mostly on the Masters, but all the upheaval with the tour and what it's going to look like after this year. One thing we do know, this really begins the golf year when they assemble at Augusta. And you were down yesterday. Talk about your experience yesterday.
Yeah, the week that we're all excited for, and then every golf course superintendent and everyone associated with the golf course in our region absolutely get cringes over, because everybody seems to think that we can snap our fingers and be as green and prepared and look as manicured and beautiful as Augusta National looks like on TV, and they all ask questions as to why we don't look like that. So, it's always an ebb and flow part of the year in the golf business. Great to get things started. It's kind of the official start to the golf season. But knowing that, you're still kind of coming out of winter, for those who have Bermuda grass, you're still struggling with your temperatures to be warm enough to really kind of, get things to green up. You're kind of evaluating if you got any potential damage or things along those lines. So, but an exciting time of the year. As far as yesterday goes, it was great. It's never not great. I know that's a double negative, but, I think it's, golf course looked spectacular. Greens already looked like they were, I saw them syringing greens yesterday morning when I got there. And that was, basically I stepped on property sometime around 7:15. So the greens are already kind of getting a little crispy, shall we say. So it'll be interesting. I don't think their weather forecast is any different than ours. So there's no real rain in the forecast, I think, through the weekend. So
they could embarrass them this week if they wanted to, couldn't they?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no, absolutely. I saw, Rory McIlroy walking down two fairway and but again, the golf course looks spectacular. I mean, the fairways are manicured, extremely tight, and, the rough looked like nothing, it looked like normal Augusta rough. But I think, because of what they can do there, they'll never lose control of the greens like the U.S. Open has done, but I mean, they can definitely push them. Mm-hmm. And I think they can, get them, however they want them to be. The wait for the merchandise line by the time I finally just bit the bullet and decided to jump into line was 80 minutes.
Wow.
Not bad. Not bad.
Wow. Boy, I walk. So, of course, the PGA professionals go through the South Gate now, not the North Gate, thankfully, because the North Gate is insanity. They've got a smaller merchandise area in the back, and I thought I had a chance, but although I got there about 6:40, by the time I got in line and everything else, I was way too far back. So the smaller one was already temporarily closed, by the time I got in, and then the front one was, it was out past the sign. Which is, down almost to where like the broadcast area is for like Golf Channel and everything, which, if you're familiar, that is a massive line, and it wasn't moving, overly quick either. So, but was able to get in there, and then,
What was the tariff?
With everybody's list. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
There's definitely, you get a few folks that will ask if you're going, and then there's a couple I've kind of gotten to know over the years and who haven't had an opportunity to go. And I'm just kind of like, hey, I'm going to go, would you like for me to get you something? And fortunately, it's not a laundry list of things. I've had that happen where I'm like, hey, I'm going to go. You want anything? And the next thing it's about 15 things for myself and about 20 things for my wife. And I've got a few things for my son and a couple things for my neighbor's son's daughter's girlfriend's aunt. Yeah, and,
expensive.
Stuff like that. It was like $2,400 yesterday. When all was said and done. So, but I did the smart thing. I just threw it all in a box and shipped it back here, and it'll be back in Memphis tomorrow. And,
you don't have to lug it around. Is Augusta National, when you hit the property, of all the things you've been to in sports and all the golf courses you've worked at and seen and been around, is it the most consistent place in all of sports? With everything
I
they
think
do,
so. Yeah. Well,
I think that is the word
today,
for them.
The thing that blows me away as I thought back on yesterday is every interaction that you have, security guard, gallery marshal, rope person, whatever, concessions, merchandise, any of it, is good morning, welcome to the Masters, we hope you have a great day.
The magic words. Mm-hmm. The magic words in business, John.
But it's everybody.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's going to sound like it's a shot. It's not a shot. I worked for the tour for 17 years, and I was a part of 20 tour events. You go out to TPC Southwind, you're not getting that.
You're not getting it anywhere else in sports. It's why it's the most consistent, and it is just driven into them. Be nice, be pleasant, be welcoming.
It's absolutely amazing. But you have to think too. I mean, the whole town shuts down, the whole city shuts down. You know, everybody's on spring break. Everybody's kind of doing their thing, and because of how monetarily lucrative that event is, I mean, the entire city buys into it, and because everybody benefits from it. You know, I don't know whether it's like Chick-fil-A, because granted you can have a couple of hiccups here and there at Chick-fil-A, but I feel like Chick-fil-A is fairly consistent with mm-hmm. what they're messaging and what they're branding and how they do things. I feel like Augusta's probably a little bit better just because they only focus on 1 week out of the year. You know, Chick-fil-A's outside of Sundays,
year-round. Too, with the women's event and the drive, chip, and putt, they're really on call now for two full weeks.
Sure, yeah. No, I forgot about the women's event. With the women's AM now and everything else, you're right. I mean, but it's 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's 14 days that you got to have your A game. Well, in the college football world, you only play about 7 or 8 home games. In the NFL world, you only have about 8 or 9 home games. NBA and baseball, a lot. I understand that. I just think everybody could take something from there, and let's be like that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The thing I would love to know is, like, when do they start the training for it? Like, when?
Great question.
Augusta National manages everything, right? They don't get paid for the TV rights because they want to manage the messaging and how the broadcast goes. Mm-hmm. So they don't get paid by CBS for it. So, if that's the case, this is what they are wanting to do, and this is how they consistently operate. When do you start training all of these people? Because again, between concessions, the restroom guys, even the restroom guys are, it's like a front nine, back nine. Which one are you looking for?
That's the question.
That's great. I love it.
And it's so organized. It's so clean. And everybody in sports, you can go to things in some areas of sport. I'm not going to call any names, but you can go that by the middle of the first half, it looks like the running of the Bulls in Pamplona have been through the bathrooms. How did they get this filthy this fast?
We can heap praise on Augusta National as much as we want. It is everything you think it is and probably more by the time you go and experience it. I mean, I ran into two guys in the line yesterday, walking in who were from the north part, just north of Atlanta. First time both of them have been there. And they look at you and they're like, okay, so what do we need to do? And I'm like, it's your first time. You got to walk the whole golf course.
They do everything.
You got to see the undulations in the fairways and in the greens and everything. And you have to see these quadrants that these players are having to hit into. And the thought process that goes into it, as they're trying to calculate, what shot to hit and what yardage I need to hit it to, and then how far is the ball going to release and is it going to stay in the shelf or in the area I need it to, in order to try to make par or not have to fight to make par, or, you know, can I get away with a birdie here or whatever? I said, you've got to, you're going to be worn out by the time you get done.
Yeah, but when you go from the big oak tree to the bottom of the golf course that the fans can get to, which is about around 12 or 13, nobody can get back to 13 tee box. I've been told that's the equivalent of like 11 stories. Well, going down's fun. Going back up, you got to get the muscles on. Brian,
yeah, I made the mistake of walking up 10 yesterday.
Rough call. It's hard.
Yeah.
That was, I don't know what my heart rate got to, but there was some heavy breathing going on.
No, that does not.
You're in good shape, John.
No, that doesn't surprise me at all. John, did it feel like around the course yesterday, was there chatter about Tiger? Was it kind of brought up amongst people
that were there,
or was it kind of just, hey, we're here to watch the Masters?
It was, you know, if it was brought up, jokingly about, you know, something. But, you know, I didn't necessarily hear a lot of Tiger chatter. I think it's, you know, to your point, it's, I'm here to watch the Masters. I'm here to see the guys that are here.
A lot of what I could hear
from folks was, you know, I'm trying to lay eyes on Scotty or Xander or Bryson or Rory or this or that. It's not, you know, you didn't hear anything about Tiger. You didn't hear anything about Phil. Or any of that. So they're focused on the people that are there and they want to see it. Cause, you know, let's face it. Tiger is Tiger. Yes, I get it. But at the same time, you know, Tiger's not going to be in contention for this event, you know, going forward. So, you know, we're now trying to move on and Scottie Scheffler has clearly taken the throne here. And, you know, so he's the most sought after person nowadays. Between him and Rory, and you know that's who you're ultimately trying to see. And then you know, of course, Bryson has you know really gained a lot of momentum amongst fan popularity. So you know, people want to see him, you know, because he can still rip it out there and everything else. So that was the main part of it through the course of yesterday.
Well, let's focus on the guys that will be out there this week. Let's get to some picks. The order we're starting in for the Masters. John, you go first.
That's defending champion, John.
That is defending champion, John. Thank you, Brett, for pointing that out as we get started. Landon's going to go second. I'm going to go third. And then Brett is going to go fourth.
I felt like that wasn't overly genuine.
No,
like,
it was
thank
very
you,
genuine.
Brian, we had gone over this. We were going to give him all the glory.
That's right. No, I forgot.
Right.
I forgot about that in our pre-show meeting.
Of course.
That's on me. That's on me.
John, you're up with a lock pick.
I mean, although he's had a child, or his wife has had a child recently, and he's probably not sleeping all that great, you can't not take him.
Pops.
So you take Scottie Scheffler.
Wow. You have to.
First pick of the year.
Landon?
Big surprise there. Well, it is with great honor that I make the second pick on the new golf year. Put a lot of thought into this one, and I think I'm going to go with Cam Young.
All right. Cam Young.
Cam Young, winner on tour this year already. Brian?
All right. I'll go back to the well with one of my guys. I'm going to go with Big Bad Ludwig Aubert.
Oh, I love y'all. Number two on my list after Scotty, knowing he would be gone. World golf ranking, OWGR 24, Bryson DeChambeau as my lock.
Dang it, you took it.
I was going to be my lock,
like,
too.
No way I was leaving.
Bryson's going to fall right in my lap for shock. Shock and, pick Bryson.
And look what we just
24
did.
24 in the world.
Nobody taking Rory. And now you can't because we got to go.
Nobody.
21 up, OWGR. John, you're shot.
Dang, got it. My plan. I had my plan. I'll take a lib guy. I'll take John Rahm.
All right.
He was my first shocker. Landon.
Okay. Well, it is with great honor that I make the first shock pick of this year, and I think I'm going to go with a guy who's made two hole-in-ones in the par three 2 years in a row. That is Keegan Bradley.
Jeez.
This time last year, he was captain. This time this year, he's defeated captain. Brian,
yes,
shock
is.
Us.
For my shock, I was watching all weekend wondering where he would fall in the rankings to see if I could pick him or not. He is just outside at number 21. Going back to the well again, another one of my guys, Akshay Bhatia.
I love it. I love the high ball hitter with Akshay Bhatia, the left-hander. Lefties have won quite a bit there. My shock, Australian. Never been an Australian player that wasn't a good bunker player. He drives it well. He drives it accurately. He putts good enough. That's my biggest concern. And Brian, I want you to look up on one of the betting sites and see what his odds are. I take Minwoo Lee.
Ooh, I like Minwoo. I like Minwoo a lot.
Wow.
I think that was my shock pick last year.
Was it? At the Masters?
I think so. Look, that was your favorite golfer in the world last year.
I picked him like twice, John.
His sister's won a U.S.
Open.
You picked
him more than twice.
Really?
You probably picked him in the first 2 weeks each time.
Yeah, I think so.
Maybe
I did. Let's not get carried away by you only picked him twice.
It's all starting to come back to me now. I do remember the love fest for Minwoo Lee. Okay, so John's got Scotty and John Rahm. Landon has Cam Young and Keegan Bradley. I have Ludwig Aubert and Akshay Bhatia. And Brett with Bryson DeChambeau and Minwoo Lee. So we'll see
And remember, everything pays double. Right. And if a shock wins, that's quad. And it's going to be about $4.5 million, so that would be about $18 million if you hit with Rahm, Bradley, Bhatia, or Lee.
Wow. All right. I like it. I'm excited about it.
Well.
It's fun. Well.
Let the game begin.
That's right. John, before we let you go, tell us more about what y'all have coming up over at Timber Trust.
Yeah, so as we talked about tomorrow night, two-man scramble. There's still room. This weekend, I think we have one spot left. For the Magnolia Open, that is a four-person scramble. You'll pick a tour player in the top 20 that makes the cut, and we'll take your Saturday score and his Saturday score and pair the two together, and then we'll flight out everything and pay that out. I think there's one team left available for that. And then just regular golf, you know, kind of going forward. So, you know, we've got just normal weekend play. So we will have some weekend availability before the Magnolia Open and after the Magnolia Open. So if you need to, visit us at timbertrustgolf.com and book your tee times there, or you can call our wonderful new AI, assistant, and she will be more than happy to help you out. And again, if you ever have any problems, just say that you want to talk to somebody in the golf shop and she will transfer you. And you can have those conversations with a staff person in the shop. But, again, follow us on social media, on Facebook and Instagram at Timber Trust Golf Course. We post pretty much everything content-wise there as far as upcoming events and additional things going on. We also do have a Callaway fitting Friday afternoon from 2 to 6. So if you're looking for the latest and greatest in Callaway, being the Quantum equipment, and you're looking for a place to get fit, everything is complimentary that evening. But you can come down here from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. and visit us and go through a Callaway fitting and order your brand new Quantum equipment. But it should be a great weekend. We've already got the pimento and cheese and the egg salad and the barbecue all lined up. So we're ready for sandwiches this weekend for everybody for all of our Augusta themed stuff. The pin flags and everything will be here for this weekend. So all those lucky enough to win closest to the pin prizes on Saturday will get a 2026 Masters pin flag, and should be a great weekend. We're looking forward to it, and welcome to the golf season, guys.
I love it. Sounds like a lot of fun. John, it's fun to have you back. We're excited for the golf season. We'll do it again next week.
All right, fellas. Take care. Enjoy the Masters.
Thank you,
enjoy, John.
Right,
thank you so much. Very, very fun. I love my team.
I like it. I like your team a lot. Minwoo Lee, odds for him to win plus 3,000. So he's out there at plus 3,000. The longest odds are for Keegan Bradley, who is plus 20,000 to win the Masters.
Take it to the bank.
Hey, you put $10 down on that. That's 2,000 if he wins it all.
Is he injured?
I don't know. I don't think so. I don't know, but yeah, plus 20,000.
He's just an underdog.
My winning score 12 under, about right. Three a day.
All right. I like that. I think that would be a really, really fun week. I went through and looked at all the odds for everyone we picked. Scotty, obviously the favorite, plus 550. We mentioned Minwoo Lee.
That's
plus
not 3,000. Gaming.
Nah, that's not gaming at all. Bryson DeChambeau, plus 1,000. John Rahm, plus 1,000. Ludwig, plus 1,700. Cam Young, plus 2,200. Keegan, plus 20,000. And Akshay Bhatia, plus 6,500. So... some interesting odds out there
right.
for all
As
our
we
picks.
Were doing the golf segment, you know who hit a home run for our Cardinals?
Please tell me it was Jordan Walker again.
It was Jordan Walker.
No kidding. So
he
that's
did.
Four in the last 4 days?
And on the mound is my preseason Cy Young winner, Michael McGreevy.
How about that? I mean, have a
you
day.
Stake him to a 3-1 lead?
I mean, what bad could ever happen?
Hang the curly W yeah, in Washington.
Hang the curly W. I love it. I love it. No, it's Jordan Walker has been on an absolute tear lately, and hopefully he can keep this up throughout the season. But, man, I missed that. I had the game on up in here, and then when I went to go write down everybody's picks, I had to turn it off, so I missed his home run. Hate that. Hate that. But should be a lot of fun. Again, the action gets started tomorrow morning for the Masters. We'll keep you updated throughout the rest of the week of all the action. But right now, we need to get to another break. When we return, we'll talk the Grizzlies. They're in action tonight against the Denver Nuggets. We'll also talk the NBA. We do that next on Sports Time.
Start your day with Sports 56 Mornings with Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy. Weekday mornings from 7 to 10, right here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour brought to you by Landers Ford in Collierville. Here once again are Brett Norsworthy and Brian Dacus.
Welcome back in to Sports Time. Bryant and Brett with you, and we got to talk the NBA. The Grizzlies, they're in action tonight. 8 o'clock tip time against the Nuggets, and Denver, a 23.5 point favorite over the Nuggets. And I would assume, Brett, after what happened the last time these two teams met here in Memphis, that Denver would like to get some revenge tonight and like to drop a hammer on this Grizzlies team.
23.5. That's Kentucky playing Guilford in November.
When and the crazy thing about it is it's not even the only 20-plus point spread in the NBA tonight. The Bucks are 20.5 point dogs on the road tonight against Detroit. So how many times can you say you've just looked at NBA spreads and seen 20-plus? Even last week, I remember Friday when we were talking some of the games Friday night, we were talking about some big spreads, and it was like 16, 17, 18.5, nowhere near 20, 23 like we're seeing tonight. So we're getting to the end of the season, and tanking's rolling. Those good teams, they need to win, and you see stuff like this.
Brian, I know this just highlights. It's very much highlights just the catastrophically bad year trying to get to the finish. Mm-hmm. And why are people so compliant to supportive of the people that got the franchise in this position? They're so supportive and trusting of them getting it out of it.
Yeah.
Again, for Wexler and Kleiman, one playoff series win.
Mm-hmm.
One.
Yeah, it's a good point, and it's a good
question.
And
it's just hear no evil, see no evil around them.
Sure. You know, I think a lot of people, you know, try to point to, you know, draft and the hope of draft success when you're kind of rebuilding. But, you know, you look at some of, you know, even though there have been some really good picks, there's also been some picks that haven't worked out. So it's kind of a give and take. But I have seen, and I don't know how serious it is, I've just seen it. I have seen, obviously, the Bulls needing a general manager. I've seen some people try to float out Kleiman's name for the Chicago Bulls general manager job. He's a Chicago guy, and people thinking that maybe they might make a move at Kleiman to bring in and be their general manager.
Can I help him pack?
Well, I knew you would enjoy hearing that. So I don't. Again, it was just a couple of Chicago people I saw put that out.
But what has he done to merit that step up?
Nothing. I mean, I think you know, you look at the list and of other people. I
like
saw
the suspects,
a couple of lists.
Yeah, I'm not digging in on you.
No. I'm not saying you are, but you know, I think you look at the list that at least I saw with a couple of people that, that had him on there, it was a lot of like assistant general manager, you know, different things that weren't general manager.
He's Why not have Jason Levien on it?
I mean, it's a great question. So I just think it was the fact of maybe you could swing a general manager, an NBA general manager, to take the Chicago job, and he's already been doing the job, kind of where some of the other names have not been that general manager for an NBA team.
So, Billy Knight busy?
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't know, but I don't know how serious. I don't think that's very serious there, but you know, you never
it can't
know.
Be.
I don't think so.
You can't be serious that all right, we got an issue and we got to make a change and this is the answer.
Yeah.
You can't be serious.
No. And like I said, it was only a couple of lists I saw just kind of hey, this just came open. You know, who are some names that maybe to watch for that? So it looks like, you know, this is going to be the group that leads this rebuild. And you know, only a couple more games until, you know, we're talking being in the offseason and starting to look into the future of what next season looks like. But the Grizzlies did get some help last night with some of those games out there. So they have started to move up a little bit. We talked yesterday about Pelicans and Jazz. Pelicans won that game. So now in Tankathon rankings, Grizzlies with the sixth pick right now before any lottery.
Yeah, need Dallas to win, and I don't see it out there. Mm-hmm. And for Denver, a lot of payback. The last loss they had was to Memphis in that game. I still can't believe what we saw. First of all, why win it for Memphis when you're doing this? But, Bryant, I'm more convinced now. I just am. I'm sorry I'm going to sound like this. The time to blow it up and make sure you win 17 or 18 was at the end of last year. Mm-hmm. That was a mistake, and I said it then. I'm not waiting a year later to say it. I said it in real time then. This is the blow up. Don't go forward with Issa Loeb. Get rid of Kleiman. I don't think you can get rid of Wexler. I don't know that you can or can't. He doesn't own the team, but he's the governor. Mm-hmm. He's the voting party. He's the representative for para at league stuff. But if you could, that was a time for him to be out and turn all this over and change all this. And Ja, and Jaren, and Desmond Bain. Well, they only did one of the three. Mm-hmm. I mean, we organized and orchestrated the teardown in a little bit style. Mm-hmm. There's only one way to have a teardown, and that's in a whole lot of style. Mm-hmm.
Well, and I think that's where, you know, it was different with organizations. I don't think they wanted to view it as a teardown. And so it was kind of let's try to make this one move and see if we can, you know, make it work. And ultimately it didn't. And obviously you saw what happened at the trade deadline with Jaren, and now, you know, likely seeing a move with Ja in the offseason. And so, you know, I think you're right. If you viewed it as, hey, we're going to have a teardown at some point, let's go out and just tear it all down right now and try to position yourself the best way you can for that draft. But I just don't think that's how it was viewed by them. And you know, that is probably where the mistake happened of, you know, can you keep going with this core? And now it looks like you're going to see the end of the massive blow up and, you know, a very different era for the Grizzlies starting next season.
You know, I would love to run into Jason Wexler just, you know, somewhere around town. In a calm, nice voice after I ask him when he's signing the lease, like I do every time I encounter him. I think I'm about the only one that does it. When are you signing the lease? Then the next thing I would ask him, I hope in a calm, friendlier voice, if you've just sat back for a week and watched Memphis be insulted. Mm-hmm. And you've said, and the team has done nothing in defense of a place you've called home, the team has called home for 25 years, and you've been at the upper reaches of the management level making money that most of us cannot imagine making in our lifetime, and you've said nothing, and your first job in Memphis was basically as a promoter, you know, downtown Memphis, big on downtown, big on the 901, big on the river. And your expertise is supposed to be marketing, and you let us be pilloried hither and yon by people.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, we've talked about it. You know, I wish just even if it's just an organizational statement where it's not even tied to somebody's name or something, you know, just to have something out there of, you know, we have a great fan base, we have a great city, we love being here in Memphis, just something from somebody.
This is home.
Sure. And, you know, we haven't seen it, and I don't think we're going to see it. You know, we're now on however many days. I don't remember what day it was last week. I think it was last Thursday. That LeBron James video came out that kind of started all of this. So, you know, tomorrow's a week, and you know, if we haven't heard it yet, I don't think we're going to hear it anytime soon.
I don't really know how you become marketing promotion that type, you know, unless you catch on with, you know, a great nonprofit. Mm-hmm. When you know his degree at Virginia was architecture, mm-hmm. and not. Yeah. You know, scaling and planning and building a building, but discussing neoclassical versus Baroque.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's a good question. I don't know the answer to that either, but you know, we'll see if there is something that comes out. You know, I at this point doubt we will see anything. And then season ends on Sunday, and we'll turn our attention to the off season. But before then, tonight at Denver, Friday at Utah, which that will be a really tough game to lose because Utah has shown they're doing everything they possibly can to make sure they lose games, and then season will wrap up Sunday on the road against Houston.
I don't know. I'm sure they'll do it quickly Monday, probably very early Monday.
Sure.
And I don't know that I will be able to make it to the end of the year media session where they have a couple of players and have the coach, and usually they hardly ever anybody from the front office executive level like Jason Wexler, but usually Zach Kleiman mm-hmm. will appear. I don't know that I can be there. I'm going to try to. Somebody's got to ask. That will be almost 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. You've sat here for 2 weeks mm-hmm. as part of an organization that let Memphis just get castigated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I would hope somebody asked that. I mean, again, like you said,
and if that's unfair, then shut it all mm-hmm. down.
Yeah, well,
we can't ask anything other than who's your favorite all-time mm-hmm. Grizz.
Yeah, I mean, I would hope it's asked.
What's your favorite whoop that trick moment?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I would hope it's asked. Like you said, it's been not only the biggest story here.
Go team, go! If that cannot be asked. Mm-hmm. Then shut it down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean it's been a huge.
Just tell them to send out press releases and tell us what we're supposed to think.
Yeah. No, I mean you're right, and so you know it's been a national story. So I would hope somebody asks it, but you know there's really no telling at this point if it gets asked or not. And there will be a lot. I mean that's one of a ton of questions that I hope gets asked to him about kind of roster construction and where they go from here, because there's a lot of unknown about what the future looks like for this Grizzlies team on the court, certainly off the court when it comes to you know the lease. We know he's not going to answer any. He's already been asked about that. He isn't going to answer any questions about that. So, you know, I'm sure, you know, somebody I hope will ask it, but we know we're not going to get an answer to it.
You know, think about the humiliation of and to Memphis. It really started with the schedule release last year. Of all places, not to have a game on MLK Day.
Yeah, no, that's
they couldn't have sent somebody else to those overseas games.
That's a good point. And it obviously, you know, stood out with Memphis not having that game. And you know, it's going to be something we all pay attention to when the schedule is released again.
And
this
on the court, I think it needs to be asked. We've had one year. He got the job at the end of last year before the year was over. But Tomas Issolo, we knew that the day that Taylor Jenkins was fired, mm-hmm. he was getting the job. It was the whole idea of bringing in. It was the whole idea. And what I think, my supposition is why they tanked the year. They did not want Taylor Jenkins getting up there in one of those four or five seed spots mm-hmm. or maybe even better. I don't know if it could have been much better, but they didn't want that. They wanted to undercut the end of last year. He's out. Isolo's in. In the last year, do you know any more about him as a coach than you knew the day he was the first day of interim?
Not much.
And how could you?
Yeah, I mean, there's not much to take away when you're really seeing nobody out there. Now, you know, I will give him some credit, you know, to throw out these lineups of just guys that we've never heard of and guys that we would have never imagined would be a part of the Grizzlies team, you know, at the beginning of the season, to throw these rosters out and, you know, to have some competitive games and be competitive out there and at least kind of have some, you know, look of a team. I think he's done a nice job with that in a really difficult situation. situation. But, you know, it's really hard with everything that's going on this season.
And, Brian, let's hope this happens. I really do. With everything I have just said and everything I've said over the last week, everything I've said over the last year, I really hope this happens. Next Wednesday, Thursday, we get that press release. We hear the big grand lobby press conference. The mayor's there. We have a signing ceremony. Hell, we get out Trump's big old Sharpies and sign it and hold up a book that the lease has been signed. I hope that's it. And then, you know, little nattering guy on the radio, take that. We were ready to sign the lease. My comeback to that is, why did we have to go through this to get to that when it could have been done before now?
Sure. You know, I think that's the point. I can't wait to when it's signed, and I hope it's very soon after the season, but, you know, that doesn't change anything of the fact of this drawn-out process and how long we've had to wait for it to be signed. So, you know, hopefully that's number one thing to do once the offseason gets started, and, you know, hopefully we get some news soon about that, but we'll have to wait and see. But tonight it is a road game for this Grizzlies team against the Denver Nuggets. 8 o'clock on the road tonight, 3 games left on the season. But we need to get to another break, and when we return, it'll be time for Big Number of the Day.
Add a little fun to your lunch break. Join Johnny Radio for Sports 56 Happy Hour from 11 to 1 every weekday on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
At Landers, Ford, and Collierville. Here once again are Brett Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Big Daddy.
Hello, Big Brand.
It's a guy, he wants to be big, then he gets big, he doesn't want to be big anymore, then he gets small, but the suit's too big.
Big Daddy.
The big boy.
You're a big guy.
I think she's trying to pull a fast one on Big Daddy.
The big number of the day.
All right, Brad, I think we should switch it up today and have you go first.
I am ready. My big number is 40. We've talked about it being the 40th anniversary of Jack Nicklaus winning in 1986, and can't wait to watch the special 40 acknowledging that. It was 40 years ago for the Golden Bear. I had him, Brian, at the end of the – you'll remember this. You were here. At the end of the 21st century, everybody was doing their top athletes of the 20th century. ESPN did a series on it that was just – it's in the sports journalism all-timer of the countdown. And Chris Fowler narrated and counted down, if not all of it, most of it. And at the top of that list, it was, and I don't want to run anybody down, but it was a lot of Babe Ruth, a lot of Michael Jordan, a lot of Muhammad Ali. I'm not arguing with any of that. In fact, I think they had Nicklaus fourth behind those three. I had Jack Nicklaus one, number one, is the number one athlete of the 20th century, what he did and how he did it. But heading into the Masters that year, when everybody had written the old bear off, here's what he had done in the weeks leading up to it. I'm going to work backwards. Pebble Beach, miscut. Honda, miscut. Another tournament in Florida, miscut. New Orleans withdrew his mother-in-law. His wife, Barbara's wife, mother had passed away. Hawaii, 39th. Doral, 47th. And Phoenix, 67th.
Wow.
And then he wins it.
That's crazy.
Three majors in his 40s.
Wow, that alone is incredible. That could be the first thing you say about anybody, and that would go, wow, that's unbelievable.
And still in the 20th century, and my favorite Jack Nicklaus nugget of anything at Augusta National, at 58 years old, T6 and beat Tiger in 1998.
Wow, so. I said that the first number, or not even your big number, but just a stat in there was one of the most impressive things I've heard. And then you just went out there and topped it. I mean, that's crazy.
T6 at 58, and when CBS came on there, you could tell in Jim Nance's voice, oh, wow, this is happening. That's and it just what – and he'd run out of holes, and everybody played well behind him. But T6 wow. in 1998 at 58.
Wow, that is nuts. But really, really good stuff there, and it's going to be a lot of fun this week at the Masters. My big number, it comes from the NBA. It is the number 8.3. Ooh, got a decimal in there, but I had to today. That's because the Grizzlies woke up this morning, and according to Tankathon, they have an 8.3% chance of landing the number one overall pick. They're in the sixth spot right now before the lottery. They also have a 34.8% chance to land inside the top four. So a good chance to move up, but also the chance to move down. And we talked yesterday about these three teams. It's impossible for the Grizzlies to get any higher. Sacramento is in front of them at 21-59. And then at the nine spot, Chicago is 30-49. So it's really this three-team little spot here between Memphis, Dallas, and New Orleans that are all kind of jockeying for 6, 7, and 8. We talked about New Orleans. They go out last night, beat Utah, a game where nobody came to play defense. 156-137, the final score of that game.
There's been
game.
No defense played in 3 months.
No, there hasn't been. And especially in Utah. They are they have not won a game in their last 10. They know exactly what they're doing in terms of the tank. But New Orleans, two more games left, both going to be really tough for them to win at Boston, at Minnesota. Maybe you see something in that last game with Minnesota, just not playing anybody, and they find a way to win. Dallas, three more games at Phoenix, at San Antonio, and then home against Chicago. And for the Grizzlies, we just talked about it, at Denver, at Utah, and at Houston. I mentioned that Jazz game. It's going to be very hard to lose against the Jazz, but those other two, maybe Sunday something funny happens against Houston with them sitting a lot of guys. But if the Grizzlies go 0-3 over these next three, there's a pretty good chance that they could be in that sixth spot going into the draft lottery, and then you feel pretty good about what you what you've got going on before you get to that lottery.
Can you imagine what that Utah game is going to be like?
Oh, yeah, that's the thing. I mean, as much as everybody wants to lose these next three, that game against Utah
race to the bottom
might be that might just be the one that's impossible for the Grizzlies to lose, because Utah knows exactly what they're doing, and they've got it down.
And I haven't gotten a handle on it. I went to 16 Grizzlies games this year, and I would say everything after the first of the year was in full tank mode, and that was about 13 games. And I couldn't figure it out. Is the best tank no defense or no offense?
Ooh, that's a really good question. I haven't really thought about that. I would say I don't know what's the most effective, but I would say me, as just a viewer, I would prefer no defense, because then at least you can be like, oh, man, everybody's scoring. This is fun.
Like Rupert and like
sure.
The threes.
Yeah, but, you know, the no offense, that can get a little tough to watch.
But when you get two movable objects.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, it's true.
It's the classic something's got to give setup, isn't it?
Something's got to give, and something definitely will have to
maybe
give.
Something won't give.
Oh, that's a,
maybe that should be the setup of nothing will give.
Maybe. Maybe that's the thing. Maybe they just come out and say, we're just forfeiting the game. Neither of us want to win, so we're just not even going to play the game tonight. But that one will be a weird watch, to say the least. But some good NBA games on tap for tonight, including Grizzlies, Nuggets, a couple on ESPN. You've got Hawks, Cavaliers, which should be a lot of fun, and then Trailblazers and Spurs in that late game, about 8:30 or so. But we need to wrap up this second hour, get to another break. When we return, we're talking some college basketball. Kevin Sweeney from Sports Illustrated, he joins us next.